Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy, please. Second Timothy chapter 1, as we continue working through this book of the Bible. What a joy it is just to grab a book of the Bible and just go verse by verse through and learn what we can from God's Word and the Holy Spirit teaching us. I'm so thankful that you're willing to go on this journey with me. I learn every week, and I'm excited to share with you the things that I learn. Just in these first 8 verses, we have seen Paul's love for Christ and his love for his son in the faith, Timothy. And we see how the gospel is woven through every single verse. We've only looked at the first 8 verses so far, but you can see the gospel there in every verse. But up until this point, there's just been kind of this underlying assumption of the gospel and the results of the gospel. And we can see that very clearly in verse 5. If you look at verse 5 there, where Timothy is commended for his sincere faith. His sincere faith. And remember, we talked about that sincere faith and what that means. It means that it was an unhypocritical faith. A faith without a mask. A faith without a self-righteous show. This was a true faith. And then this morning, we come now to verses 9 and 10, which is this glorious exposition of what I have called the timeless gospel. So what was kind of there latently in the previous verses is just open and exposed to us, the full gospel message in verses 9 and 10. And so this morning, we want to just take a short time to prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table. And I want to just do an introductory look at these 2 verses this morning. And then next week, we're going to come back to them and try to plumb the depths of what's contained in these 2 powerful verses. Let me read for us 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Father, would you work in our hearts to receive your word as we desire to learn from you? Oh, we know that this is the inspired word, and so it's not just words on a page, but it is you talking to us. Help us to have hearts that are tender to receive what you are saying to us this morning. May you be glorified. Jesus, may you be on display as we work through these verses this morning. We pray in your name. Amen. The old hymn says, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is" what? Sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And as we journey through this life, we see that over and over again, don't we? Jesus and the good news of salvation in and through him is the only thing that remains constant. Everything else is sinking sand. Everything else disappoints, to one degree or another. Why? Because of the fall of man into sin and the subsequent depravity of man and the curse that affects everything. Let me give you some examples. Your work or your calling in life is not 100% fulfilling. Our marriages and families are not perfect. Our cars and tractors, no matter how shiny and new at one point, they break down and they rust. And if you need any evidence of that, just look across the street at my yard art going on over there. Our thoughts and our longings can become distracted and even evil. Our friends let us down. A once good government becomes corrupt and evil. Our wealth does not fulfill, and we all know that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Our livestock may die or get sick. The church, the body of Christ, at some point is going to disappoint you and maybe hurt you. And shocker of all shockers, the pastor is not going to be everything you thought he was going to be. At some point, you're going to say, oh, I thought he would do that a little bit differently. Oh, he isn't as profound as I thought he might be. Whatever. The pastor's not going to be all that you thought he would be. And the list could and should go on and on. But here's the hope. Jesus, the good shepherd, will always be with his sheep when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in the presence of our enemies, even on the mountaintops. He is always with us. His sheep will never be forsaken, and all who are given to him by the Father will come to him. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And so all of our hope is in Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Why is that? It's because of this. Our salvation has nothing to do with ourselves. It is accomplished completely by God through Christ. It's all his work. It's nothing of ourselves. And I want to show you this in two ways. Times eternal and end time. This is a timeless gospel. It goes way back to times eternal. We first see this in verse 9. Our salvation is solid and secure because it was accomplished in the purpose and grace of God in eternity past. Notice what it says here in verse 9, that he saved us and called us to a holy calling. Notice those are two past tense verbs. Saved us and called us. They're past tense, resulting in a thing, a noun, saved and called us to a holy calling. Now the obvious question is, when did he save us? The church, the bride, the elect. When did he save us? The answer is at the end of verse 9. Before the ages began. And you say, no. It's when I was 10 years old at a Bible camp outside of Albuquerque, New Mexico. No, it was before the ages began. You see, in God's timetable or non-timetable, however you might want to describe that, it's hard to understand and describe what God does in terms of time. But before time, before the creation of the universe, before the sun and the moon, before the rotation of the earth, before the creation of man and woman, God purposed by his grace to save and call a people to himself. Now, according to the scriptures, according to our verse here and many others that we'll explore next week, God saved us and called us before the ages began. Now, think with me logically. That means that it was before mankind fell into sin. It's before you ever breathed a breath. It's before you ever sinned. It was before mankind could choose good or evil. Therefore, logically, it is completely apart from our works. Look at what he says here in verse 9. Who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace. And we need to just sit back and say, praise God. Because that is the solid rock. God is the solid rock. I am not. I am shifting sand, and everything that I touch is shifting sand. This is my solid rock. His saving me and calling me has everything to do with his purpose and grace, and nothing to do with any actions, choices, or good deeds of my own. You see, if it depends on me, it would not be solid ground. For two reasons. One, I am dead in my trespasses and sins. And two, my decisions, choices, longings, even best intentions and desires are all tainted by the depravity of sin. Therefore, apart from his saving grace and his effectual call, I would only and always choose sin and rebellion. That's what I would choose. All we have to do is think back to Adam and Eve. And they were innocent. They were perfect. And they were in a perfect setting. And what did they choose? They chose sin and rebellion. And you think you're any better than them? I think I'm any better than them, that I'm going to make the right choice? I don't think so. I am dead in my trespasses and sins. And so this is all to the praise of the glory of God before the ages began. But, and I say this reverently, and I say it fearfully, because I try in my mind and from reading the scriptures to have a high view of God and his sovereign control. But I believe biblically that had God merely purposed to save mankind and not put flesh and blood to his plan, it would have been as good as the vain contemplations of the Eastern mystics. It would have just been a thought. But his plan was accomplished in time in Christ. And so that's where we're going next in verse 10. He gives us a taste of it in verse 9, says, which he, God, gave us in Christ Jesus. This is the second person of the Trinity. And yes, God the Son was there from all eternity, but now we see in verse 10 how this purpose of God from eternity past was put into action. It had to be put into action in time. So look at verse 10 with me. This purpose and grace of God, now look what it says, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You see, this plan came to fruition in the person and work of Christ. Jesus, God the Son, was born of a virgin at a particular time and place in Bethlehem. And the fact that we call this year that we're living in 2022 AD, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, signifies that all of human history revolves around the person of Jesus Christ. So there's a time and a place that is involved here, a manifestation of who he is. Jesus appearing, that is his physical birth, his sinless life, the cruel, torturous, and unjust death that he endured on the cross, and his physical resurrection is the solid rock on which we stand. Apart from those truths, those realities, there is no solid rock. Why? Let me say once again, it's because you and I are sinners. You and I cannot live a perfect life ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. Our only hope is in Christ. God's purpose and grace from eternity past was manifested in the person and work of Jesus in time. And this is what he accomplished. Look at verse 10. Look at what he accomplished. He abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Oh, it doesn't get any better than that. He abolished death. You say, wait a second, people are dying around us all the time. No, for the believer, he has abolished death. In other words, death for the believer, it's only a door. It is only a door that we open, and now we're in the presence of our God, of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, the sting of death has been taken away. So he has abolished death, and he has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is our solid rock. Everything else is sinking sand. Do you see that? Do you understand this? This is huge. This should be earth-shattering. If you haven't understood it before, this should shake you where you're at. You say, oh, I need Jesus. Because I'm on this unsteady sinking sand, and you know what? I'm going to sink down to my eternal death. But Jesus has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. God's purpose and grace from before the ages began was fully accomplished in Jesus, who is our Savior. Fully accomplished. There's nothing else that anyone has to do. He has accomplished our salvation. And so let me ask, are you weighed down with the weight of this world? Oh, this world can become so weighty, so difficult. Have you finally realized that everything else is sinking sand? Have you discovered with Solomon that vanity, vanity, all is vanity? And it really is. Apart from Christ, we're just working, we're just living. But in Christ, there is great purpose and hope. Not only for eternity, but in this life as well. In Christ, we are on solid ground. And so I say, oh sinner, there is hope in Christ. There is hope in the gospel. Don't put it off another day. Don't say, yeah, well, that's good for my parents and my grandparents, but I'm okay until I'm 25 or 30. No. Today is the day of salvation. We don't know when we're going to hear that trumpet call, and we don't know when we're going to breathe our last breath. And so today is the day of salvation. If you have not, I plead with you, repent of your sins today. Turn to him today. Don't wear the mask anymore. Don't play the game. Don't say, yeah, I have faith in God. Is it a sincere faith? Is it a real faith, or is it a game that you're playing? We don't have time for those games. We need a sincere faith in Christ. And that's why we come this morning to the table. We come because Christ has accomplished this for us. We're not coming to this table to celebrate ourselves. We're coming to celebrate Jesus and his work on the cross in redeeming us from our sins, saving us from the pit, that we might be in heaven and his children for all eternity. Let's pray. Oh, what a glorious gospel. No man could conceive such an amazing plan. Oh God, we stand amazed at who you are, at your infinite wisdom, at your omnipotence to enact this plan, to set your love upon us before we even existed. It just, so much of it just baffles my mind. But But you are good, and you are kind, and you are faithful. Yes, you are just. And because you are just, your own son went to the cross to take care of our sin problem. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. We worship you this morning as we come around the communion table. We thank you that you are willing to pour out your life for us. That upon the cross, this divine exchange happened, where you took our sin upon yourself and you have given us your righteousness. Oh, we are so undeserving. But how thankful we are. So we worship you through the table now. Be honored in our worship, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.